I invite you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 8 today. Jeremiah 8. And we are wrapping up today a series that has been encouraging us to pray dangerous prayers. We've covered five so far. And today's may be one of the tougher ones for us to pray, I will admit. We, as a rule, as a habit, tend to like easy and safe prayers. We tend to pray, you know, God keep me safe, God bless me, God help me have a nice and easy day. And I'm not saying it's hard or wrong to pray those things, but the truth is, if we start really getting to the root of why we pray for those things, it's not just putting those things in God's hands, but the thing is, I think some of the things that happens within that is that we don't want to be inconvenienced. Think about that. I mean, it's a natural desire to not want to be inconvenienced. I remember when my daughter came home, this is the first one, Ashley, and here we are, new parents, and I am so blessed, so honored to be this dad and to hold this new life, and that little kid would never, ever sleep. Except when we didn't necessarily, you know, but it was hard. But it was, you know, even though I loved her dearly, she was an inconvenience at times because I wanted to sleep. And all the parents said, but we don't want to be interrupted. We don't want to face challenges. In other words, God, if you really love me, give me a hassle-free day with good food, green lights, nice people, and well-behaved kids. These are the kind of prayers, you know, if we're really getting honest, that's what we often would pray. We like to say and participate in safe prayers. But once again, today I'm going to encourage us to say something that's not safe. And I will admit that if you have the courage to pray this, God will answer it. And you will often feel frustrated as a result. You'll become uncomfortable. Chances are really good that life will not be easier. In fact, it will probably get harder. So with that lead up, I want to invite you to join me in praying another dangerous prayer, because following Jesus was never meant to be easy. It was never meant to be safe. What we're going to pray today is, God, break my heart. And this is different than the prayer we did several weeks ago where we prayed, God, break me, because that was about praying and understanding of, God, break me of the things that are keeping me from you and from that are interfering in my discipleship of growing closer to you. But this one is about how we view and encounter the world around us. So we pray, God, strip me of the comfort, of the ease, and the apathy. God, break my heart. And I want to warn you that if you pray this dangerous prayer, you'll probably find yourself burdened and grieved as you look around. Your heart will ache over something that burdens the very heart of God. If you pray this prayer, you're probably going to lose sleep. Your heart might start to burn with a righteous anger about an issue or something you see going on. You might find yourself doing things that other people don't really understand. And when you do, you might face resistance, criticism, even persecution. And yet, in all that pain and all that discomfort and agony, you still will find joy, because When you are blessed by your heart breaking over something that breaks the heart of God, you understand more and draw closer to God. I want us to look at, as I said, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, because we're going to look at this briefly at the story of Jeremiah. He had a pretty interesting and unfortunate nickname. He's known as the Weeping Prophet because his heart was breaking over the plight of Israel and what he's seen as God's people, the people that know and have, that are the chosen to represent God. A little bit of the context is during this life is that the people in Judah were in complete rebellion against God. The leaders were abusing the widows. They were taking advantage of those who were poor. They're sacrificing little children to false gods. And God's heart is wrecked over the sinfulness of his people. And so here comes Jeremiah into this, and he begins to ache on the behalf of God for what he knows to be God's calling, and yet seeing where God's people are at this time. And his heart is breaking, and in verse 18 to 22, you see this prayer, this statement coming from Jeremiah. He basically says, my grief is beyond healing. It just can't be fixed. There's no repair. It's broken. He says, I hurt with the hurt of my people. I mourn. I'm overcome with grief. My heart is broken on behalf of this injustices of those who are abusing those who do not have the power to defend themselves and make things right. So Jeremiah does what he knows to do. I mean, he is a preacher of all preachers. I mean, he preaches some pretty intense sermons, and he prays and he fasts and he stands there strong and he threatens and he does everything that he knows to do, and things don't just change. And he says, my grief is unbearable. My heart is broken. Which brings us to a question. If we're going to encourage us to pray that prayer of God, break my heart, do you want that? I mean, seriously. Because if you're going to pray for it, you should expect an answer. Because when I wake up in the morning, and I groan as I get out of bed, I'll be honest, I want the opposite often. I want to go through the day and have no big issues, no problems. I want to just kind of stroll through. I don't want anybody to be rude. I don't want the problems or heartaches or grief. And that's why this prayer is so dangerous. Because I'm not talking about praying something that breaks your heart and you just do a little something and a little good deed every now and then to make yourself feel good. I'm talking about praying something that is gut-wrenching, that becomes a burden on your heart, that consumes your thoughts. It doesn't just let up at some point. It eats at you, it gnaws at you, and you just don't quite always know what to do because the pain just burns inside of you. And honestly, when you get to that place where the feeling that you have on behalf of God is the opposite of everything that popular culture programs you to want, this isn't the feel-good version of Christianity that says God exists for you and to make your life better. It's the opposite of you can see it. If you can see it, you can be it. It's the opposite of, you know, if you can name it, you can claim it. It's the opposite of it's time for you to be blessed. Instead, it comes from an understanding that we used several weeks ago again, but that what if God's greatest blessings come about from God's greatest breakings? That what if some of the most special blessings from God come on the other side of the pain that moves you out of focusing just on self to instead care for those people around us on God's behalf? What would happen if God really broke your heart for the things that break His? What if God blessed you with a heavenly burden, a divine burden, a holy hurt? Now, it may be just me, but I like comfort. But the problem is that comfort has never moved me to action. I've never become so comfortable that I thought, let's go change the world because I deserve more comfort. More luxury in life has never shook me to care more about those who are suffering in life. I mean, I don't like pain. I like pain-free days. That's why I've been praying for cottonwoods to disappear. But pain-free days never make me more like Christ. Because pain has a tendency, even though we don't like it, it's a noticing of the not normal, but it purifies, it strengthens us, because trials teach us to depend on God. So we're encouraged to pray, break my heart, God. And it's a dangerous prayer because it snaps us out of our self-centered pursuit of comfort and ease. I mean, we can see it throughout Scripture. There's a lot of different examples of people that started to have this burden. You look at Moses. He watches from the royal area, even though he wasn't born that way. He watches again and again as the Egyptians cruelly beat his people. He carries that burden in his heart, and for decades, until God calls him to stand before the Pharaoh, and with a heart breaking from the pain and plight of his people, he declares, "Let my people go," over and over. David, little shepherd boy, just following orders. Dad sends him to the battlefield with food for his brothers. David walks up and sees this war at a standstill because a giant named Goliath seems too big to defeat. But Goliath makes a mistake. He's making fun of God and the people of God, and that just doesn't sit well with David. Something breaks in his heart, and he stands up and says, "Who are you to come at the armies of the living God?" He says, "Everyone else thinks you're too big to defeat. I say you're too big to miss." You have Nehemiah, who's living in a palace as a wine tester for the Babylonian king. He's living in exile, and he hears bad news about his extended family, his people in Jerusalem. Walls are broken down. They're vulnerable to any sort of attack. They have no support system, no identity, no sense of self-worth. They're vulnerable every moment of the day and crushed by, and it crushes him to the point where he falls on the ground, cries, and prays, and he puts his own life at risk by going to the king and asks, "Can I go?" And he goes back, and he's not a builder. He has no experience in construction. And somehow he figures out how to arrange a construction project beyond all of our comprehension, other than maybe Brent Gillenberg. And at the same time, he's fighting battles. He's telling the people, "Fight for your families. Fight for your homes. Fight for your wives, your husbands, your daughters, and sons. because his heart was broken. It had moved him out of comfort. Jesus, you find, weeps before Jerusalem because they don't know the peace of God that is readily available to them. His heart was broken. When you pray, God, break my heart, the thing is, God will break your heart. He'll shake you out of your continual pursuit of comfort. He will stir you with a divine burden that you simply can't ignore. And when your heart breaks one day, you won't be able to hold back. And I will admit, I had never experienced quite the same way as I have since I've moved here, because I get to participate in life and watch Cliff Cole. That man has a burden. And he sees through the heart of God. I find paperwork from years and years and years ago where he came to Pastor John with the breakdown of what Safe Families was. And he didn't let up when other people didn't see a way through for it. And I've been a part of watching him negotiate and work all the different ins and outs. And with every wall that has popped up, he's found the patience and the strength to allow God to break down those walls. And on July 1st, Safe Families will be officially under the Compassion Center. And it's a praise God moment. And that's why we need to wonder, what if God's greatest blessings are on the other side of our heart breaking? And the gut-wrenching thing about it all, and I have to say, the amazing timing of God's word coming through this prayer, timing with what's happening in our country and the protection now of the unborn child in many different places. But there's still work to be done. Is that we, as a result, like Sam said, are called to start stepping up. Because there's a lot of families, even though we may try, we will not reach. But that shouldn't stop us from praying, God, break my heart. When you pray this prayer, I want to... you to hear me, your heart is going to ache, so get ready for hurt. I don't know what will break your heart. It might be for the unborn child, it which still needs to be dealt with. It might be for the little children that can't read, that are having need that extra help in our schools. It might be to get clean drinking water to some parts of the world where there are dozens of children that will die every day. It might be for those who are trapped in financial bondage and they need to be shown a way of freedom. It might be for the children that don't have a loving home. It might be for those who are suffering from mental illness or who are trapped in addictions and they don't know how to get out. It might be for those who are recovering from infidelity and unfaithfulness in marriages and don't know that if they can continue to love or trust again. It might be for teens who are dealing with the stresses of all this life and they're cutting or don't have a good parental influences, or those who are addicted to pornography. It could be that your heart breaks for those just teens in general who need to discover a life in Christ. I don't know what it's going to be for you. It could be all of those things. But the thing is, God brings into these things because he knows who and what you bring to the table. And when we rely on him, remember, it's not about our strengths, it's about God's strength. Amen. So when you pray this prayer, your heart will break. And when it does, thank God that your heart is breaking. Because on behalf of God, you care for those who he cares about, because most people, it's easier not to just care. It's easier just to turn our eyes. It's better not to hurt, not to get involved. And I hope you understand that it's better to hurt with a purpose than to exist without one. So thank God when He moves you, when He calls you, when He breaks you on behalf of Himself. This is what Paul voices in Philippians chapter 3. He writes about, at one point he was religious, but he didn't know Christ, and it was all about bragging on his experiences and his religious attributes. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was part of the people of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of all Hebrews. I followed all the Pharisaical laws, all 613. I led this righteous life. But when he comes to know Christ, not religion, but when he comes and encounters a holy God in the form of Jesus Christ, when he encounters that, relationship is transformational. To the point that he says, I consider all of that other stuff lost. I consider it garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. It's a loss. It's nothing. It's nothing in comparison to the freedom of life in Christ. And that's why in Romans 9, Paul says, if you don't believe me, Christ is my witness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit will tell you this true. And he says, my heart is breaking for the very things. It's sorrow, filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people. His heart is filled with, as he watches the Israelite people, the people that he once was very much a part of as an example of how to live, and they're missing the point, and he knows it, and he says, I would willingly be cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. He says, I love them so much, and Christ is everything to me, but if I had to spend eternity without them, without Christ, to know that all of them would be saved, I would do it so. I'm willing to put it all on the line. This is a dangerous prayer. But when you pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours, and then he does, well, tell him you're thankful. Because every day you'll be driven by a higher calling. More than just existing on this planet for a short time, but to be the hands and feet of Christ. That you're defined by a heavenly purpose, not just to pursue our own selfish desire and lust, but to reflect the glory of a God whose heart is broken so much that he gave his own son so that we could experience his grace, his goodness, his faithfulness, and his forgiveness, his life. So when he breaks your heart, thank him. That your heart breaks on behalf of something that breaks his, because when you pray this dangerous prayer, he will wreck you. But I promise you, it's so much better to live with a purpose than to exist without one.